You're listening to the Bethel College Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad to be with you this morning, and I have to say, I just am really grateful today for this practice of beginning our day, beginning our morning with worshiping God together. Because I don't know about you, I don't know what your experience was, but back when the whole world stopped back in March, and like all routines kind of seemed like they just went out the window, I found myself in a season where I would get up in the morning and I didn't really have anywhere that I needed to be, didn't have anywhere that was anyone that was expecting me, and so I would at some point would, you know, roll myself out of bed and maybe get a glass of water if I was mindful enough, and then the next thing I knew it was like 5 p.m. and the only thing I'd done that day is stare sadly at the wall. I don't know if any of you can relate, but it's not really like the best formula for like a spiritually and mentally, emotionally healthy life. And so so I started to have to realize I needed to find some practices where I was turning my heart and my mind specifically towards the Lord. And so I'm thankful for that practice this morning. So thank you to the worship band for leading us today. As I was getting ready to come here, I've been looking forward to this for a couple of weeks, and I kept thinking, what is it that I could share from my life or from things that I've been learning or from Scripture? What would be a timely word to bring for this time, for this week, this time in our lives? And I faced a little bit of a conundrum, I have to tell you, because over and over again, the thing that I just kept spinning around is the thing that has been at the forefront of my mind for months, which is just what a wild ride we've been on this year. In just 2020, I mean, I started this year, I had just moved up to Michigan, I was starting a new job, I'm in a new community, I'm feeling like my life is pretty awesome. So I started 2020 and I'm like, here I am 2020, I've been waiting for you. This is gonna be a great year. And that started backpedaling really quickly. I was like, wait, 2020, I think I'd like you to leave again. Because just in this year alone, we have experienced, my goodness, we've experienced a global pandemic. Just countless numbers of people who have gotten sick, just horrifically sick, and people who have died. We have experienced devastating levels of isolation and loneliness. We have experienced racial injustice and fires and just a completely bonkers political season, just all kinds of things, one on top of another, and that's just what we've all experienced together. And then when you add on top of that our own individual grief, stress within our families, within relationships, anxiety about our future, any number of things that we might be experiencing on our own, on top of those things, my goodness, it's been a heavy year. And so I thought about those things, and I was just thinking about how ideally, then, what I'd love to be able to do is to come and bring a word of hope. And I was thinking, you know, what I would like is to be able to do what I wish someone would do for me and give me like a very clear answer or a pathway towards navigating this chaotic year in a way that would make me feel settled and whole and good. But the issue with that is that I find myself most days still scratching my head and trying to make sense of what is happening. Most days, I still find myself holding grief in one hand and gratitude in the other and recognizing I don't know how to reconcile these things. Most days, I find myself knowing somewhere deep in my bones that I trust the Lord and that He is good, and also that I wake up sometimes screaming and crying and swearing and saying, God, are you even there? And it's both. And so my conundrum is that to have given you a neatly packaged message that would give you all kinds of right answers and hopeful and positive scripture verses would have made me maybe feel kind of good. Because as much work as I've done to try to not be stuck in the circle, I still just I care quite a lot about what you all think of me. And so for me, for coming as a speaker, like that would make me feel maybe good, like I could pat myself on my back. Good job, you did the speaker thing. You preached a good message that was hopeful and that was positive. But my problem was that to do something like that, something neatly packaged and tied with a bow, I wouldn't be able to offer in a place of integrity today. And so instead of that, instead of a message where I come to a lot of great sweeping conclusions, if you have them, would you please come find me? And would you tell me afterwards? Because maybe I can take that back with me. If you have them, then wonderful. Instead of offering that to you, what I want to offer you today is a story and some space for us to listen together and to hopefully encounter God with one another this morning. So a couple weeks ago, I went camping up in Michigan. And I went on this camping trip with a group of my friends. And I will tell you one thing. I was so excited to be with these friends because I referenced earlier the isolation, the loneliness that many of us experienced in the spring. I have never known loneliness like what I knew when the beginning of the quarantine started this year. And I'm an introvert. So I like to be alone. I prefer to be alone. Thank you very much. I would like to know what other introverts are in here, but I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand because that is really rude. And so I'm going to just know that you're out there with me somewhere and tell you that I understand wanting to live and navigate life privately and in a solitary way. But this year, if it's taught me anything, has taught me that we are not meant to do life alone. We need people who can help us to get out of the woods of our own mind, people who can ask us questions, who can reflect back to us where they see God working and what they see us working through. And so just as you saw on the videos today, as Sean was sharing about, if mentoring and discipleship is something that you haven't taken advantage of yet, this might be a great time for you to take a step like that and to know you're not alone and we're not meant to be alone. And that was what I had in my head as I went to this camping trip, knowing that these were people who were safe and good people who know me well and who love me really well and who I deeply trust. And so people who I was eager to have some time away with. And I was ready to get just away from my normal life, away from the distractions of work and trying to make all kinds of new different decisions in the midst of this COVID-19 season. And I was going to go out and spend some time in the wilderness and turn my phone off and let my brain just settle a little bit. And I was so excited about this trip. I've not been tent camping in probably 3 years at least. And so I didn't really fully know what I was getting myself into, but I'm like, it will be fine. You know, the weather has been glorious. We've just had an incredible summer up in Michigan. And so I was like, it's going to be great. My first night camping, all of a sudden I woke up in the middle of the night to just some little drops of rain on my tent, and I was like, oh, interesting. Don't know what's gonna happen. and I kind of like tried to close my eyes tight and like just act like I didn't hear it and just settle myself and go, it'll probably blow over, it's not a big deal. Little by little, it started to grow until all of a sudden in the middle of the night, it's just this torrential downpour. I mean, just buckets of water being dumped on my tent. And if any of you are tent campers, you know, there's just not very much separating you from the outside world. And so this water is pouring down on me and I am like frozen in my tent. I don't know what to do. I've not been tent camping in so long. And even my friends who are scattered around me, you know, I'm like, even to like poke my head out and see what are they doing, I would get drenched immediately. So there's no good solution in my mind. So I'm just laying very still as if the rain was a wild animal and it wouldn't see me if I just stayed still. So I'm just lying very still. And wondering what will happen. And then just like one tiny little raindrop somehow made its way through and just fell tenderly on my cheek. And I sat bolt upright and I was panicking immediately. I just like my levels of anxiety went through the roof because already I'm thinking forward several steps where I'm thinking this tent is gonna flood. And I hear thunder in the distance. It's going to blow me completely away. I'm gonna catch pneumonia and then I will die. So there's just a little glimpse into what my mental state has been this year. I know it's quite a big jump, but I was very concerned and I just couldn't settle myself down. I couldn't get my anxiety to go down. And so I'm laying there in the tent and thinking, what in the world? How am I going to go back to sleep? What do I do? And in the middle of my fretting and worrying, it's a highly unproductive time, I all of a sudden had come to my mind the story that's recorded in the scriptures of when Jesus is out on a boat with his friends and a storm comes up and his friends start panicking and they think we're in actual danger here. These are men who know the waters. We're in actual danger. And then they look and see that Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat. So they run, they wake him up and they say, Jesus, do you see that this storm is happening? And with a word, Jesus rebukes the wind and rebukes the waves and everything is silent and calm and all is well. So I think about that story, and I'm like, okay. I don't know why that just came to my mind. Is there something that I need to do with that? Is there something that the Lord's trying to get my attention, something he's trying to tell me? And I think maybe I need to pray for the rain to go away. Maybe I need to pray for Jesus to calm the storm. He can still do that, right? And so I start praying, you know, yes, just move this storm along. Just let it go past me, please. Stop the thunder. Stop the rain. Let this return to a nice, peaceful, calm night so that I can get some sleep. That didn't happen. And so I'm still sitting there and just I'm sitting upright at this point and just thinking, God, what do you have for me? What are you trying to say to me? What is happening in this night? And as I continued to think through that story, I found myself getting stuck on one part of it. And it's recorded in Mark's version of the story where the disciples are noticing, you know, beginning to panic about the storm, and they've seen Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat. And in Mark's version, he records Jesus' friends saying to him, Jesus, don't you even care if we drown? Don't you even care if we die? Don't you even care what happens to us? How could you be sleeping? And I was getting stuck on that part of the story, and I realized that is the question I've been asking all year. As there is chaos and all kinds of things happening around me, happening to me, and I found that the underlying question in my heart is God, don't you even care? Do you even notice what's happening? Do you care what happens to me? How I feel like you're sleeping. Now, the gift that we have in Scripture is the gift of hindsight. You know, so we know how these stories end, and we can look and we can say, calm down, disciples, it's all gonna be okay. And I was thinking about, I found myself wondering, what would have happened if they had known that it was going to be okay? What would have happened if they had fully trusted Jesus was not going down on that boat and he wasn't going to let his friends go down on that boat? What would have happened if they would have known that Jesus was going to calm the storm and everything would be okay? I wonder if they would have worried a little bit less. I wonder if they maybe would have let Jesus sleep. I wonder if when they woke him up, it would have been maybe a little bit less frantic, or maybe there wouldn't have been fear or any accusation in their voices. I wonder if they could, like, if it would even be possible to kind of enjoy the ride. You know, I don't know if that's possible. Maybe that would be a bit much, but I found myself wondering these questions here in the middle of the night, listening to the rain, wondering what it would be like. And I can't answer that question for the disciples, but I began to feel that question was turned quite personally to me. As if there in the middle of the night, the Lord was asking me, what if you knew tonight, in this exact moment, that everything was going to be okay? That your tent's going to do exactly what it was meant to do, and it's going to keep you dry. It's not going anywhere. You are going to be just fine. What if you knew that? And I was a little bit surprised to realize, well, actually, I think I'd kind of enjoy this. Actually, I think that if I could relax enough to know that I'm safe in this little tent, you know, it's one of those tents where you can't really stand up in it, you can sit up in it, so it's nice and cozy. I felt like I was in a little nest here and hearing the symphony of a storm outside, and I was thinking, if I knew I was going to be okay, I think I might actually really love this. And something about that helped me to settle in just enough. I fell asleep, and I slept so soundly, so deeply for the rest of the night. And I woke up, sure enough, I was just fine. And I was perfectly dry. And I woke up thinking, oh, I think that something kind of profound happened for me last night. Because that question began to ring in my head all throughout the next day as I was walking with my friends, as we went hiking, as we went to the lake. Over and over and over, I felt myself thinking about this question, what if I knew that everything was going to be okay? How would that change how I'm experiencing what's happening right now? And I thought back over this past year, everything that has happened, everything that we have experienced collectively and the things that I've experienced individually, all of the pain that I was then presently processing on that camping trip, what would be different if I knew that it was going to be okay? How would it change my experience of what was happening? The things that each of you are experiencing right now, in here in the middle of September, back at Bethel or at Bethel for the first time in a very different year from what any of us would have envisioned, if you knew that everything was going to be okay, how would that change the way that you're experiencing what's happening right now? So I shared that with my friends. The gift of community. I needed some people to process this with, to think out loud about, to have checking in with me. I just this week walked with some of those friends, and they were like, "Are you still asking that question? Are you still thinking about, you know, if everything was going to be okay, how it would be different?" I have them still asking me that. So this is the gift of community, the gift of doing this together. And I didn't come to any grand sweeping conclusions, but what we did together that day is something that we're going to do this morning, which is to just read scripture together and give space for God to speak and to meet us. So we read through that scripture, we read that passage, and had different prompts, different questions, things we were thinking about each time, and the Lord met each of us in different ways, in ways that we needed to hear from him. So there's no neat story, neat ending to that story. That is where I currently am. This is my practice, is coming back to that question and seeking God in the midst of the storm, literal and figurative. And what I want to do this morning is to invite you into this spiritual practice with me, into seeking God and allowing him to speak through his word. And so we're going to spend some time. I'm going to read this passage of scripture a number of times and ask you some questions just to think, to reflect, to listen, to quiet your hearts, and see if there might be some way that God is getting your attention. And this is a practice that traditionally is called Lectio Divina, which is a Latin phrase that means divine reading. And it's a different way of interacting with scripture than reading large chunks of scripture to try to get the big picture, the story of what's happening, or studying to know the original language or the context, and all of which are important ways to engage the word of God in order to get the full picture. This is just a different way. And it's a way to allow ourselves to simply listen and interact with the word of God, to allow it to speak and to breathe as the living word that we claim it to be. So what I'm going to do, ideally, typically when I lead this, it's in a little bit of a smaller group. So I'm just going to sit down here and just imagine that we were not in a big chapel service in a big auditorium, but that we were in a room together. I'm going to read this passage from Mark chapter 5, and I'll read it slowly through four times. And I want you to just get comfortable. Make yourself comfortable in a way that you can focus, whether that is with your eyes closed, with your eyes open, if you have paper and want to write something down as things come to your mind, if you have your Bible and you want to follow along, whatever helps you to focus and to relax in this time, make yourself comfortable. During this first time as I read it, from Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, in case you want to revisit it or follow along, this first time as I read it, all I want you to do is to listen to see if there is a word or a phrase that stands out to you. And this isn't something that we'll say, you know, if something stands out, it's not that you take this as gospel truth or thus saith the Lord, go and do likewise. It's simply to notice what is it that grabs your attention. And that will allow you to then get curious about why is that, and what is it that God might be speaking to me? And maybe you'll bring someone into it. Maybe you'll bring somebody into that conversation with you to process later today. So as I read this through the first time, listen and see, and I'll leave just a few moments of silence afterwards for you to reflect. So listen and see what word or phrase stands out to you this morning. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." if we were in a smaller group together. I would love to ask and to hear what words or phrases maybe stood out to you. For me, when I read this together with my friends, the phrase that stood out to me was, "Who is this man?" I realize that that is the question I've been asking for much of this year. And as I read it just now, one of the things I love about this practice is because new things come out. And as I read it just now, what is resounding in my spirit is the question, why are you afraid? So as I read this a second time, I want to invite you to put yourself in the story and to experience it with all of your senses. Imagine if you were here, what would you see? What would you feel? What would you smell or taste or hear? Notice what is happening in your emotions. Notice if there's something that makes you uncomfortable or angry or disappointed or excited. Notice what happens within you as you put yourself in this story. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." As I put myself in that story, I could feel the physical relief that comes when you've had a long day and you know you're about to go rest. What I would imagine I might feel if I was in that crowd, that in that group of friends, finally leaving the crowds behind for the day and about to go to just be alone with my people. And then the immediate rise of anxiety when the storm picks up, and just what a trip that would be. I feel that as I read that story. So what is it that you feel in your body or with your senses, with your emotions, as you put yourself in that story? As I read it through a third time, think and listen to see if there might be an invitation that Jesus has specifically for you through these words this morning. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." My friends read that together as we were camping. The invitation so clearly to me was that Jesus was inviting me to come and rest with him. And I could almost picture him sleeping in the back of the boat and just inviting me to just come on and just rest. And I felt very resistant because I was thinking the storm is still happening and someone has to tend to this. But it was a persistent and gentle invitation, come and rest with me. So what is Jesus' invitation to you today? As I read this through a last time, just allow the words to wash over you and think about what your response to the invitation of Christ might be. And as I finish reading this, I will give just a moment of silence and then we'll pray and then you can go about the rest of your day. So what is your response to the invitation of Jesus today? As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples,
Let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, following the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." God, we praise you for being a God who has authority, even over the wind and the waves, even over the storms, the actual tangible physical ones and the ones that just feel like they have been raging in many of our lives throughout this year. And we pray that we would know you to be a God who is not shocked or surprised, who is not worried or nervous, but who invites us to trust you in the midst, not when everything calms down, but even before everything calms down, in the midst of the storm, may we trust you more. So I pray that the words that that stuck out to each of us from your word this morning, may they be planted like seeds that would grow. May they be something that we reflect on and experience you in a deeper way through. And may we be quick to speak and to reach out with one another so that we can process and link arms and walk this journey together. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen. So good to be with all of you this morning, and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel College Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast and get more information at chapel.bethelcollege.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel College Chapel.